This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
This is People Magazine for the week of April 29th, 2024. On the cover of this week's People, it's an exclusive with Tom Selleck, Success, Failure, and Getting Lucky. The ultra-private Blue Bloods star reflects on his accidental five-decade career, his 37-year marriage, and why he'll never take happiness for granted. It's been a long road. But first, let's get the scoop. Channing and Jenna's Magic Mike Money Fight. Nearly 6 years after Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan announced they were separating, the two exes are still at odds over the financial terms of their divorce. One of the main sticking points between the actor, age 44, and the rookie actress, age 43, is profits over Tatum's Magic Mike franchise, which includes three movies that have collectively earned hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office, a spin-off reality series, and a live Vegas stage show. In new documents filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, attorneys for Dewan claim Tatum acquired the Magic Mike intellectual property using marital funds and that he refuses to accept an equal division. Tatum produced and starred in the original 2012 movie and its 2015 and 2023 sequels. A rep for Dewan, who shares 10-year-old daughter Everly with Tatum, tells People, Jenna is just looking for a fair resolution of community assets of the marriage under California state law. She wants to reach a final determination and close this chapter on her life. Tatum's lawyers, meanwhile, dispute Dewan's claims in their filing, stating that the actor has expended extensive efforts since separation toward the enhancement of the Magic Mike intellectual property and related entities. Says a source close to Tatum, she says she wants a fair settlement but is ignoring all post-separation work Channing and his partners have done to enhance Magic Mike. Since they failed to come to an agreement during previous mediation, Dewan and Tatum, who met on the set of the 2006 film Step Up and wed in 2009, will head to trial on December 8th. Each has called on the other to testify. Given the amount of money at stake, both probably feel like it's worth the gamble to have a court decide, says Kara Chorback, a shareholder and attorney at Buckalter who is not involved in the case. While Dewan and Tatum are entangled financially, the two, who had their divorce bifurcated and were declared legally single in 2019, have moved on personally. Tatum is engaged to Zoe Kravitz, age 35, while Dewan is expecting her second child with her fiancé, Shameless actor Steve Kazee, age 48. Tatum has called on Kazee to testify regarding his joint finances with Dewan. That hasn't changed. What hasn't changed is their devotion to Everly. Says a Hollywood source, they want the best for her. Lady Gaga sparks engagement buzz. Is wedding planning about to begin for Lady Gaga and her boyfriend, Michael Polanski? On April 7th, the singer, age 38, ignited engagement rumors when she stepped out sporting a new accessory, a diamond sparkler on her left ring finger. Gaga and the tech investor, age 46, have been linked since 2020, when they were first spotted kissing at a Las Vegas New Year's Eve party. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the two quarantined together, and they've largely kept a low profile since. Several years into their relationship, they almost act like a married couple, a source previously told People. When they're together, it's obvious that Gaga is crazy about him. Here's This Week in Love. Going strong, Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco, 5 months after confirming their relationship, the Only Murders in the Building actress, age 31, and the musician, age 36, are so in love, says a source. It's a very serious relationship. Benny makes Selena feel special. It was date night for Zendaya and Tom Holland. While in London promoting her upcoming film Challengers, the actress was snapped laughing with her boyfriend. Zendaya and Holland, both 27, have been dating since their 2016 film Spider-Man Homecoming. It's a split for Aoki Lee Simmons and Vittorio Asaf. 4 days after People confirmed the 21-year-old model, who is the daughter of Kimora Lee Simmons and Russell Simmons, and the restaurateur, aged 65, were spending time together. A source close to Simmons' family revealed the two have parted ways. And it's happy anniversary to King Charles and Queen Camilla. The King, age 75, and Queen, age 76, celebrated 19 years of marriage on April 9th. This year's wedding anniversary marked the couple's first since Charles, whose cancer diagnosis was made public in February, was crowned on May 6, 2023. Angelina talks working with daughter Vivian. When Angelina Jolie began working as a lead producer on the new Broadway musical The Outsiders in August, she had help from a special volunteer assistant, her 15-year-old daughter Vivian, with ex-husband Brad Pitt. Before the musical, an adaptation of S.E. Hinton's beloved 1967 coming-of-age novel that inspired the 1983 film, opened April 11th at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater, the mom of six, age 48, caught up with people about her and Vivian's introduction to the Great White Way. When did your love of theater begin? My mother, Marshalline Bertrand, who died in 2007, loved theater and studying with acting teacher Lee Strasberg. She chose to raise me and my brother and not focus on a career, but it was her love. I started to bring my children as often as I could, and she did like she did for me. So who's the biggest theater head in your family? Definitely Viv, hands down. She'll correct me. She'll say, "Didn't you read the memo? We have to do this." She's been a really tough assistant. She takes it very, very seriously. How did she inspire your involvement in The Outsiders? Viv is a young artist that focuses her efforts on her support of others. She saw an early workshop a few times and then invited me to it. She has been there to assist in any way she can and has learned so much from our co-writer, Justin Levine, and the whole creative team. What is it like working with a group of actors? It was a dream to work with this very dedicated and extremely talented cast, brilliant singers, dancers, and actors, all of them. They all work so unbelievably hard. It's very moving. The 13 Going on 30 cast looks back as the film turns 20. The Jennifer Garner rom-com 13 Going on 30 is saying goodbye to its teens. On April 23rd, the movie celebrated 20 years since it first thriller danced its way onto screens and became a box office hit. It was magical, Garner, age 51, tells People of her experience playing Jenna Rink, a 13-year-old who is magically transported into her future life as a 30-year-old fashion editor. While Garner says she has many fond memories from the set, she loved any scene she had with her on-screen frenemy and real-life pal, Judy Greer, age 48. She'll also never forget sharing Razzle's candy gum with her on-screen love interest, Mark Ruffalo, age 56, in a Brooklyn park for what turned out to be an iconic scene. All of us were just talking about the magic of us being at the same place in our careers, Garner says. It was the biggest paycheck any of us had ever had, even though it was not crazy. It wasn't a huge movie, but for all of us, it was such a step up. In 2018, Greer spoke at Garner's Hollywood Walk of Fame star ceremony in L.A. The Alias actress then did the same for Ruffalo at his star ceremony this past February. "We'll both speak for Judy when her time comes," Garner says. "It's inevitable." There's an inset box here entitled Krista Bell's Teenage Memories. After portraying the younger version of Jenna in 13 Going on 30, the actress, now 32, played the younger version of another Garner character in 2009's Ghost of Girlfriends Past and also starred on the ABC series Revenge. She calls Garner an example of a person with true character and integrity. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's Coachella takeover. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's romance took the desert by storm when they made a surprise appearance on the second day of the annual Coachella Music Festival in Indio, California on April 13th. The pop superstar, who sported a baseball hat promoting Kelce's New Heights podcast and the Kansas City Chiefs tight end, both 34, were first spotted singing along stage side during Swift's friend Jack Antonoff's set with his band Bleachers. Later, they danced with Swift's Eras Tour opener Sabrina Carpenter and her boyfriend Barry Keoghan during Ice Spice's performance. In a viral clip taken during Dom Dolla's set, Kelce is seen lifting Swift into the air and took over the crowd. The couple kept the fun vibes going at the Neon Carnival after party, where they were seen singing along to Swift's 2023 hit, Cruel Summer. They were both excited to attend Coachella together, a source says of the couple, who also enjoyed a date at the Sushi Park restaurant in LA the night before they were seen at Coachella. They're all about quality time together before Taylor resumes her tour in Paris on May 9th. Moving on now to our cover story. I have a very lucky life. With a new memoir, the Blue Bloods star reflects on his 5 decades in Hollywood, his lessons in failure, and how he learned to prioritize family and love. Tom Selleck stares silently over 63 acres of land rolling out from a hillside on his ranch. A few things have changed since he bought the Ventura County, California property in 1988. Droughts destroyed almost all of the farm's avocado trees and decimated about 25 oaks that were more than 100 years old. "That just breaks your heart," says the actor, age 79. "But with the rain we've had, the sick ones are getting better, and they're all sprouting a lot of healthy growth." When he's home every 2 weeks from shooting his long-running hit CBS series Blue Bloods, which is now in its final season in New York City, the actor, who doesn't text and says he's never sent an email himself, likes to start his days reading the papers and then riding around the ranch on his ATV to check on all his wildflowers. "I've planted them for years, and they bloom in cycles," he explains. "When it's coldest, one of them blooms, and then another one comes in. I know it sounds stupid, but I just watch them grow." After more than 5 decades in Hollywood, Selleck is more than content leading a serene life. Having found mega success at age 35, starring as a Vietnam veteran turned private investigator on the 80s smash hit Magnum P.I., which won him an Emmy, the 6'4" star never relished being in the spotlight or pandered to the heartthrob hype, despite his rugged handsomeness. Even as he continued to dazzle audiences for years in films such as High Road to China and Three Men and a Baby, as well as on TV shows like Friends and Las Vegas, he maintained his self-effacing nonchalance. Now he's ready to share his journey from struggling actor to TV icon in a new memoir, You Never Know, out May 7th. The idea of writing his life story gave the ultra-private star more than a bit of trepidation. "I don't have the hooks that a lot of people do," he says. "I didn't rehabilitate myself or have this tragic life. I had my own share of, certainly, ups and downs, but I've been very fortunate." He did have a few conditions. There would be no delving into relationships or politics. "I wasn't going to write about who I dated, and I wasn't going to get even and settle scores," he adds. "Those were my rules. That's just me." Taking a chair in a restored 1910 hunting lodge on his property, which has long been his refuge from the industry, Selleck is the very picture of a family man. his wife Jilly, age 66, along with their daughter Hannah, age 35, and his adult son Kevin, whom he shares with ex-wife Jacqueline Ray, are his priority. His memoir, which he wrote out in longhand and took 4 years to finish, delayed by COVID-19, is a lot about failing, endless failures, he explains. If you're going to get in the acting business, you better get an appetite for it. And I tried to communicate that because it was kind of a long road. Raised in Sherman Oaks, California by his dad, real estate investor Robert, and his stay-at-home mom, Martha, Selleck won a full basketball scholarship to USC while majoring in business administration. Acting wasn't even a thought. He lucked into his first job, portraying a basketball player in a Pepsi commercial, and got tapped as a bachelor on the dating game. It is really the story of an accidental career, he insists. I'd never taken an acting class. I had no training, no desire. He did a stint on The Young and the Restless in 1974, appeared in several Western movies, and landed small parts on shows like The Rockford Files before his breakthrough role on Magnum P.I. came along in 1980. People would say, oh, he was bitten by the acting bug, or he wanted to be a star, Selleck says. I never talked that way in my life. I just wanted to get a job and work. After he booked the series, which was filmed on location in Hawaii, director Steven Spielberg offered him the lead role in the 1981 film Raiders of the Lost Ark. But CBS wouldn't postpone the show's start to allow for the film's production schedule. Even though it didn't work out, they placed their confidence in me to do that picture, he recalls, and that was something I could always have in my hip pocket. Magnum P.I. became a hit soon after premiering in December 1980. Shooting in Hawaii allowed him a buffer of sorts. I knew by then that I wasn't built for some of the things I'd seen, the publicity, the lack of privacy, he admits. It afforded me a lifestyle, and it kept me out of the mainstream. After 8 years on the show, Selleck walked away. I quit, really, to have a family, he says, and moved home to the ranch for a self-imposed 3-year break from acting. He and Jilly, who met in 1983 in London, got married in 1987 and welcomed daughter Hannah the next year. The work picked up again in the late 90s with memorable roles in films like In and Out and the TV series The Closer, and as Monica's older love interest on the mega hit Friends. Selleck then starred as a troubled small-town police chief in Jesse Stone TV movie series, and in 2020 he signed on to Blue Bloods, with the understanding that he would commute every 2 weeks back home to his beloved ranch in Los Angeles. 14 seasons later, Selleck never takes family time for granted. Looking back on fatherhood, he admits it was a balancing act. I think I've been a good dad, but you always think you missed opportunities, he says. I mean, when it comes right down to it, in our business, the work comes first. You find a way to make that compatible, but ironically, not an avid TV watcher, he prefers to spend his free time going over Blue Bloods scripts with Jilly by his side. I'm one of the last guys to see it, and I'm a good editor, says Selleck, who's also an executive producer on the series. And in the quieter moments, a cigar and a glass of whiskey is a nice way to end the day, he says. I've had a very good life, a very lucky life. I don't know if that's what I figured I'd be doing, but it's with a lot of gratitude. All right, we've got photographs, obviously, moments of a lifetime. Selleck earned the rank of sergeant in the U.S. Army Infantry, and there's a picture of him without his signature mustache. And I don't know, he could have been the model for the Ken doll. He's a very handsome young man in this photo. There's a photo of him with his son, Kevin and his wife, Jilly, from 1987. And there's a photo of Tom with his daughter, Hannah. And he said, when Hannah was growing up, he says, we had more time, but again, I was also away. There's the time when he met Princess Diana with President and Nancy Reagan at a 1985 state dinner, and he said that she was lovely. And then Selleck's family included brothers Dan and Bob, sister Marty, and there's a photograph with all of them with their parents. There's also a copy, because, you know, People is celebrating their 50th anniversary, so there's a photo of his 1982 People magazine cover, and it says, at the peak of his Magnum PI fame, Selleck graced the cover of the magazine for the first time. They kept saying we're a hit, he recalls, of the initial frenzy. But yeah, at a certain point, it became clear that it was. John Hillerman, his late co-star, was always saying to me, you have no idea what we're into here. This is life-changing. Another inset box chronicles his accidental career, and it starts with Magnum PI. It says, I was living Magnum's life in Hawaii, says Selleck. One day he woke up at 33 and realized he'd never been 23. Three Men and a Baby, the 1987 comedy starring Steve Guttenberg, Selleck, and Ted Danson, made over $100 million at the box office. And then Friends, it says, I loved doing that show. Courtney Cox was great, says Selleck. All of them. I miss Matthew Perry, he says. In and Out, it was kind of a no-brainer, he says, of portraying a gay TV reporter who pursues a teacher played by Kevin Kline in the 1997 comedy. And then Blue Bloods. We're a family, says Selleck, of the cast and crew, including Donnie Wahlberg and Bridget Moynihan. No one wants it to end. All right, let's see what else we have in this week's issue. From football legend to convicted felon, 1947 to 2024, the fall of O.J. Simpson. His much-watched trial for the brutal murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman ushered in a new era of fascination with celebrity and crime. And despite his acquittal in 1995, he was shadowed by controversy forever. O.J. Simpson's final social media video on February 11th serves as a reminder of the disgraced former football star's firm belief that he could dictate his own fate. Thank you to all the people who reached out to me, said the father of five, flashing a warm trademark smile while sitting poolside at his Las Vegas home. My health is good. Obviously, I'm dealing with some issues, but I think I'm just about over it. And I'll be back on that golf course, hopefully in a couple of weeks. 2 months later, Simpson, who first acknowledged that he'd undergone chemotherapy after catching cancer in a May 2023 video, will never return to the links. Despite his public assurances that all is well, his condition worsened. By the first week of April, word went out to friends and family that the end was near. People flew in from all over, says Simpson's longtime Las Vegas attorney, Malcolm Laverne. Well-wishers visited to say goodbye as Simpson drifted in and out of consciousness, and the family announced Simpson was surrounded by his four surviving children and three grandchildren. It really was a celebration of life for a person who was still alive. The death of the 76-year-old Football Hall of Famer from prostate cancer on April 10th marked the final chapter of a controversial life that had, in the 1990s, riveted the world. The charismatic Hollywood actor, sportscaster, and pitchman's 9-month trial for the grisly 1994 murders of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson, age 35, and her friend Ron Goldman, age 25, became a media phenomenon that put a spotlight on fame, crime, and the nation's persistent racial divisions. Billed as the trial of the century, it attracted 150 million viewers near its finale in October 1995 with gavel-to-gavel TV coverage and helped launch cable news and the 24-hour news cycle. When the Los Angeles jury delivered a not guilty verdict on October 3rd, viewer reactions ranged from applause to stunned silence. In the years that followed, the once-admired celebrity struggled to put his life back together. 2 years after his acquittal, Simpson, who had been arrested for spousal abuse in 1989 for beating Brown Simpson, was found liable for the deaths of his ex-wife and Goldman in a civil suit and ordered to pay their families $33.5 million in damages. He spent the remainder of his life trying to evade payment. In 2008, after attempting with armed accomplices to recover what he claimed was stolen memorabilia from a Las Vegas hotel room, he was convicted of armed robbery and kidnapping, and he spent the 9 years in a Nevada prison. Although Simpson died maintaining his innocence, his circus-like murder trial may have had one positive effect on American culture and the U.S. justice system, says legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, the author of The Run of His Life, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. I think it brought considerable visibility to domestic violence as an issue that hadn't been there before, he says. O.J. was a domestic abuser, but people didn't care about that until his trial. By then, it was too late for Nicole and Ron. Last year, Simpson told his inner circle that he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer and was undergoing chemotherapy. But it barely slowed him down, they say. When the end finally came in early April, Simpson's house was filled with guests who took turns at his bedside while others mingled over drinks and food. He died a happy man, says attorney Laverne. Yet Simpson's peaceful exit offers nothing to his longtime adversary, Fred Goldman, the father of a murdered son. There is no closure, he tells people. This is just a reminder for us of how long Ron has been gone, how long we've missed him. There's nothing today that's more important than the loss of my son and the loss of Nicole. This has been People Magazine. I'm Jackie Norton for Radio Reading Services.